Subas Yivchesa Mebez is an exceptionally dense Amud in the world of Nash and Ezekim. We're going to zero in on one or two particular lines for now. Mishnah Subas Yivchesa Mebez. The Sugya, someone should say about Edus and about Edus Bishtar. Right now, let's zero in on the following. An intriguing pair of cases that the Mishnah presents. Ha'edim Sha'amru Subas Yivchesa Mebez in the Mishnah. Eidim sha'amru kesav yadeinu huzeh. The Eidim say, this is indeed our shtar. This is indeed our signature. In other words, what's the backstory? Reuven is suing Shimon. You owe me $100,000. Here's the shtar chov. Shimon says, no, I don't owe you. Reuven says, I have a shtar. Shtar proves, A, that I did lend it to you, that lavisa, and number two, the fact that I still have the shtar proves that lo parata, you haven't yet paid back. Right. So, Reuven has a strong case. Shimon says, well, maybe that shtar is a forgery. And there is a din, probably midrabbanan, that the shtar, you have to mekayim the shtar. You have to verify the signatures in the shtar. How are you going to do that? There are a few ways you can do that. One of them is the Edom themselves come and say, that's our signature. Or other Edom come and say, yes, we recognize those are the signatures of Levi and Yehuda. You're Mekayim, the Chasimos, you verify the signatures, and then the shtar is golden. Okay. And once the shtar is Mekuyim, so then Reuven says, I'm taking it to the bank. I have a shtar. It says that I lent you. It says my possession of the shtar implies you haven't yet paid back. So Bezin will make Shimon pay Reuven. The Mishnah says, but consider the following wrinkle. So Reuven needs to Mekayim the shtar. He needs to verify the signatures in the shtar. So let's imagine that he brings the original witnesses to come back to Beis Din. And they say, yes, kesav yadeinu huzeh. So far, gevaldik. That's Mekayim the shtar. However, they say, but there's a catch. Aval, take a look inside. Ksubis yudchesem beis. Aval anusim hayinu. Yes, we signed this, but the shtar is invalid because we were forced to sign it. It never really happened. There was no loan. We signed it, but we were under pressure to sign a false document. Or, ketanim ayinu. We signed this when we were before bar mitzvah. So yes, we signed it, but our signature is worthless because we were ketanim psule edus. Or psule edus ayinu. We were apostle for some other reason, not because of our age. We were apostle because we were rishayim. We were apostle because we were krovim, whatever it is. So the edim come and say, we signed it, but our signature doesn't really help. So what should be the din? So the Mishnah says, Harei elu ne'emanim. We should believe them. Why? Pashas, because they could have said nothing. And apesha asra apesha yitir. They didn't even have to say, this is our signature. We only know that the signature is valid because of them. They say, well, we signed it, but... So, which is why the Mishnah goes on to say, take a look at the Mishnah. The Seifa is, let's say, yesh edim shuksav yadam, if there are other witnesses who can verify that this is their signature, that these are Levi and Yehuda signatures, oksav yadam yotzi makam acher, or we have other samples of the edim signatures, and we can, that we have some other way of being mekayim the chasimos through other edim or through other handwriting samples. If we don't need the edim to say, kesav yadeinu huzeh, we know it's mekuyim. So now it's a pure case. We have a shtar, and the shtar is mekuyim. But the edim of the shtar show up and say, you should know that our edus is worthless. Fundamentally, einam ne'manim. They're not believed. The edim themselves, they come and say, I'm telling you, we signed it, But it was worthless. We were ketanim. We were psulim. Or they made us sign it. The Gemara has a whole discussion. What type of anusim? You mean like someone held a gun to their heads or someone offered them a lot of money? We're not going to get into that issue now. That is part of the beautiful complexity of the sugya. That's not our issue. Anusim machmas mamon versus anusim machmas nefashos. It's beautiful, not for now. For now, the Mishnah says, again, fundamentally, edim are not believed to say, I signed that shtar, but it was a worthless chasima. If it's a pesha, it's a pesha hit, then we believe them. But fundamentally, edim come and say, ignore our edus, we're not going to ignore them. We listen to the Shtar, we're not going to listen to Eitz. That's the din that the Mishnah says. Again, fundamentally, you have a Shtar, the actual witnesses on the Shtar show up and say, we want to tell you the backstory, ignore the Shtar. No, we're going to listen to the Shtar and not to the live witnesses who signed the Shtar. So far, so good? A din. Edim are generally not believed to cut out the legs under the Shtar Chov that they themselves signed. Unless you have a special exception. The ratio of the Mishnah is the exception. But if the Shtar is already kosher without these witnesses, doing Kiyum, fundamentally, they're not believed generally to say, we signed it, but. Frek Tosfos Akasha. The little Tosfos Ein Ne'emanim. Yud Chesem Abit. Frek Tosfos Akasha. Ein Ne'emanim. Tosfos asks in very brief Tosfos, in 2.5 lines, Tosfos asks Akasha and gives 3 answers. We're going to look at the first answer as its own complexity. We're going to leave that to the side. We're going to look, at least for now, at the Akasha and Terutzim 3 and maybe 2. Here you should not ask, as in, I can ask you a kasha, but I'll give you an answer. Right? Say, don't ask the following kasha means, here's a kasha, let me give you a terutzin. Don't ask, what could you ask? Why not believe them with amigo? What's amigo? The ibo amri paruahu. Huh? The Edim come and say, right, Reuven suing Shimon. Reuven says, I lent you money, you never paid back, and here's the Shtar to prove it. The Shtar is signed by Levi Yehuda. And the Shtar is already in the Kuyim, it's a Gevaltik Shtar. So the Mishnah says, but then Levi and Yehuda themselves, Shimon brings Levi Yehuda to court and to defend him. And they say, the whole Shtar is worthless, and this whole story never happened. They were just forcing us to sign it. So the Mishnah says, no, we don't believe it to say that. In fact, Tosfos, why not? Levi and Yehuda could have come to Beis Din and said, yes, that Shtar is true, and last week we witnessed Shimon pay Reuven back. That would have worked. If you have Edim that you paid the Chov back, you're good. Right? That would have worked. So if Levi and Yehuda really wanted to lie and dishonestly throw things in favor of Shimon, they could have just come and made it a very simple story. Last week, they could just falsely testify that the Shimon paid back. That would be the end of the story. Done. Oh, Shimon's done. Yeah, he has a day payroll. Instead, they give a whole complicated story. Well, Reuven held a gun to our head. Well, Reuven offered us $1 million to sign the Shtar. Well, we were before Bar Mitzvah. They could have said something very simple. Parua, we saw the repayment last week. So why not have amigo? Interesting question. Why are they not ne'emanim? They have amigo. They could have been made parua.
He already claimed that it was forged. How could the agent then say you paid it back?
Interesting question. Although maybe it was Ray Makuyim on its own. Maybe it was Ray Kimin, I didn't necessarily made a tinus mazuyev. Let's say it came Makuyim. It was Ray Makuyim from before. Reuven had taken care of Kiyim Ashtar earlier on. Sometimes people do that. So that's what, perhaps why Tosa doesn't raise that as a possibility. Tosa has several possibilities. The last possibility of 3 teretzim in such a short little Tosfos. The second teretz is that doesn't work according to the rules of Eidos. There is a rule that the Gemara here mentions, Kivin Shehigid, Shuvin Achoz Romagid. An Eid can't testify twice. So if your Shtar, that you yourselves, the Levi Yehuda signed the Shtar, and the Shtar is Biyad Reuven, which implies that it's not yet paid, so that's like they're being made, so they can't subsequently come and revamp what the Shtar says. Okay, so answer number 2 is, you're right, sounds like a good Migo, but there's a technical reason, Hilchas Eidos, this breaks down. Answer number 3 has to do with the rules of Migo. Take a look. The last line, the last 10-15 words. The ode. The ode, de b'shnei Eidim lo amrinan Migo. When you have two Edim, you can't have amigo. There's no such thing as amigo by two Edim. A rule. You can't have amigo by two Edim. Why not? Why not? Why can't have amigo by two Edim? Why can't you have amigo by two people?
Because it's derisive to testify falsely.
Okay. Okay. But we're saying if they want to testify falsely, what are the chances? After I was saying, what are the chances of testifying falsely? If they want to testify falsely, they just would have come and said very simply and smoothly, it would be much slicker to just say, yeah, we witnessed last week that he paid back. Why do you have to make a whole story? And that makes them look very good. Yeah, we were witnesses, and then last week we witnessed the repayment. Instead, they're making a whole story. Well, they forced us. We signed it when we were under bar mitzvah. Why do you have to give such a sticky thing?
Well,
okay. Why would two people not be a good amigo?
It's hard to make up a story because the week
costs seven times. Oh, right. Take a look, very good. So take a look, Emmet, maybe we should call him Yitzhak Weiss. Could take a look at Tosfos on the top, Bava Basra, the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the top Tosfos on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and the Bava Basra, Dira Masel Vizu. Suppose there's a different scenario in Bava Basra of why not say that the Edom have amigo. So the last Teretz and Tosfos, the Odo Mari, again, the last few lines in the top Tosfos, Bava Basra, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Dira Masel Vizu. The Odo Mari, the Lo Shayich amigo. The way the Bach adds a few words, Ela Ba'adam Echad, Ava B'Shnayim Lo Shayich amigo. Okay, there's no amigo by two people. Why? De'ein das shenehem shovim. Their minds are not aligned. Umashir says, "Liton, oh yiton zeh." What I have in mind is not to say what you have in mind. Tosfos in Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel expands on this even more. Quotes Yudches, Ksubus Yudches, and unpacks this even more. Migo works because if I wanted to lie, I would have said XYZ instead of ABC. If I was a lawyer, why would I have said, you know, we got into a car crash, this guy has to connect them, just say I paid you back. Classic Migo. Why would I say A if I could say B? So Tosfos says, Tosfos implies in Ksubus Yudches, and expands upon it in Bava Basra Lamed Aleph in Kiddushin Mem Gimel, that that whole logic only works by one person. It doesn't work very well by two people. I'm sorry.
Doesn't this prove that they're telling the truth? Their minds are not aligned. Let them settle on this before the court case. Why don't they just agree that before testifying that they're both going to say he paid him back?
Well,
why can't they just work this out beforehand and say he paid him? That we're both going to say we paid him back. If you're the concordant in advance, I don't see the problem.
Okay, but isn't Drusha not pure more than
10 seconds? If there's a star, then we've also written it.
Maybe it's saying, like, the reason why.
That's a good question.
Let's play a game in Zoom.
Let me read to you what Tosfos writes in Kiddushin, and maybe that will help.
Everything's like
I'm not sure. It's a very good question. It requires more thought. Tosa seems to assume that, yes, they coordinated beforehand, but they don't have a chance necessarily to... I assume what Tosis means is the following, but it requires more thinking. You're asking good question. I assume what they're saying is, you know, but earlier on we had a moment to talk and we decide on something that when we process later, we don't have the chance to sort of think it through later necessarily. Oh, maybe instead I should say that. When I'm one person, so until the moment I open my mouth, I don't need to communicate with anyone else. I'm making my own decisions in my own head. And I'm thinking and thinking and rethinking and replanning until the moment I open my mouth. I can, if I'm a dishonest person, I'm still thinking about how I want to re-optimize. And the fact that I didn't optimize indicates it must be I'm telling the truth. Masha Enokain is apparently was saying by two people, maybe you had a chance to coordinate before, but then afterwards you may be rethinking, but you don't have the chance to communicate with each other. A little bit for those who are involved in game theory, like a lot of the game theory situation. Like everyone's trying to guess what the other person is saying. As a matter of fact, Tosos in Kiddushin even goes on to say further, the Rimi Kutzi says, sometimes we would say Migo by two people, and sometimes we wouldn't, depending on whether it's obvious to both of them what's in the best interest of both of them. So it says, in a situation like in Kiddushin, we do have Migo by two people because there it's obvious to both of them that both of us would rather do this or do that. So we would, if we were being dishonest, we both would have lied in the same way, even if we didn't coordinate. Like that's that game theoretic aspect. Can we both guess what's in both of our best interests? So if we can, so then if we were liars, we would have lied that way. Masha'enu kain, if it's not so clear what's in our... You know, what's better, what's in our best interest, if it's a little less clear. So then, if we decide on something initially, even though later we're thinking more, we're not going to shift because we can't, we're not telepathic, and we can't communicate. I believe that's the pshat, but your kasha remains, needs to be worked out. But I don't want to get off the thread, the main thread, which is the following. The logic needs to be hashed out more. I think that's at least the beginning of the understanding. But certainly... Certainly the following. Migo bebeis anashim. So, the teretz number three in Tosas said it does not work. Right? Migo by two people, the third teretz said beverish, it doesn't work. Right? That's the position of the re. But Teretz number two in Tosis, Teretz Beis, implied that it really should work. Remember we said before, the second Teretz in Tosis, we'll leave the first Teretz alone, the first Teretz is a little complicated, the second Teretz in Tosis said, the Migo really should work, but there's a rule in Hilchas Eidus that you can't change what you said once you said. But from a Hilchas, external Hilchas Eidus perspective, they cannot contradict what they already wrote in the Shtar. But fundamentally, it sounds like this Migo would work. So that's one machlokas in the world of Migo. Can you have a Migo by two people or not? And there's a strong logical case that it's going to be hard. Coordination is going to be tough. The logic of, well, if I wanted to lie, I would have optimized, doesn't really work so well. It's much stickier by two people. Again, even granted the kasha that Rafi and Em are asking, the lies is a lot stickier. Here's another question. Here's another question. I admit that we were talking yesterday about modem mixers. So you say that I owe you $100,000. I say no, only $30,000. Right. So what's the din? Modem mixers. I have to pay the 30. The other 70, do you believe me that I didn't pay the others, that I don't owe the other 70? No, I have to make a shavua.
Well, what if he does believe that?
No, but will the Bezin believe me?
But
But it's a din d'oraisa anyway.
Oh, which means that the Torah is telling Beis Din, you can't just believe the guy that he doesn't owe the other seven. Let me ask you, Akasha, that perhaps the Gemara in Bava Metzia asked. Why not? I could have said, I owe nothing. I could have said, I don't owe you anything. Call for our call.
Then
our Torah is pata. Correct. So the din d'oraisa tells me that even though I could have said, I owe you zero, I would have been believed. I wouldn't have paid you anything. But now they say, I owe you 30, but I don't owe you the other 70. You don't believe me on the other 70. Why? What's the Torah telling me? Is the Torah telling me that Migo doesn't work? Is the Torah telling me that Migo doesn't work? So one possibility is that's no good. Because it's amigo de ha'aza. It takes a lot more chutzpah, if you indeed lent me money, to say, well, I owe you part of it, is a lot more comfortable than to say, I owe you nothing. Mama, deny the guy to his face. The guy gave you $100,000. You're just going to lie to his face. Zero. They say, well, I owe you part of it. That makes it more comfortable. I could have said, I owe you nothing, but that would require ha'aza. That would require chutzpah.
So some say
that doesn't work.
The Torah is precluding
that? Oh, so it could be the Torah is telling me amigo doesn't work if it requires chutzpah. Or it could be the Torah is telling me that amigo doesn't work lafturi mishvua. That's the other approach. And these are two deis in the Rosh and Shavuos that you have in the Maamar. Okay. Maybe either the you're not Naman by Moed Mixin. I could have said Kofra Kal because it's Chutzpah. Or I'm not Naman because Migo doesn't work if you to get out of a Shavuot. What's the issue? What's the issue? We'll unpack more. But this first column is assuming that Migo is all about the practical logic, the rote. That the chances are, what we've been talking up until now. Well, if I really wanted to lie, I would have lied in a simpler way. The fact that I'm giving this complicated story, it must be I'm a truth teller. If I was a lawyer, I never would have said such a complicated story. But if you say it's based on that Miko is just a simple rove, well, it could work in place of a shvua. Why not? It's a good proof. On the other hand, if it's in theory I could have said something else, but it's hard, it would take chutzpah, the rove doesn't work. Two people, in theory, we could have said something else, but practically, you probably wouldn't have. It's too risky. We're two people. The rove doesn't work. The other approach that says that Migo does work by two people, the second test, even though, in theory, I could have said it. In theory, I could have said it. But I probably wouldn't have. Amigo with chutzpah, in theory, I could have said it. But practically, I wouldn't have, is saying something else. Is saying it's not, the Migo is not just like natural svara, probably a rover telling the truth. Instead, it's a more formal din, that if I am Naman as a kofar hakol, any situation where I am Naman as a baldin to be kofar bakol, so in those situations I'm Naman to say all sorts of things. Even though it would be more comfortable to say this, say that, the koach hataina that I have, the Naman is baldin betana say, the whole, anything I say in that a case where I could be a kofar hakol, any reasonable thing I say is going to be granted kofar kol as well. So that's why even two people, we could have said it. We would be believed to say something else. We're believed to say this too. I could have been chutzpahdik. I probably wouldn't want to. But if I'm granted status of kofar kol, I'm nemer. Migo lafturi mishvua. Also, on the other hand, you're not Neman as a kofar hakol. You have to swear. That's the case where you're not a kofar hakol. The Torah is saying, in that case, you have to swear. Migo works if I can talk. But Migo doesn't take the place of Shavuah. Shavuah is a case where merely saying a taina is not enough. That's what the Torah says. So you have two different approaches. And finally, Migo lemafreya is much the same. Migo lemafreya, which is our sugya, either doesn't work or does work, taisus, or Rashi, the same issue. Practically, there's no way I would have said something else yesterday if I didn't yet know. Retroactive Migo, what type of logic is that? From a Rove perspective, nothing doing. But in theory, I could have said. This is a situation where there is something I could have said. If you take this mechudish take a second approach, that a situation where I could be a kol for a kol that gives me a mo to whatever I say, that lines up with the second approach. That's the fundamental hakir and amigo, which we will unpack more. You already saw briefly the first four nafkaminas. Plenty to think on your bike ride later today. We'll pick up with the Simrit Shem tomorrow.